And now Dave Gentry, who builds and designs beautiful boats and sells boat plans and boat kits. Dave's interest in boats goes back to at least the eighth grade when, perhaps inspired by pirates, he ordered his first set of boat plans from popular mechanics.
Vessels of freedom.
Prompted me to order for those plans. Certainly not my dad, who was not enthused at all about helping me do something in the garage with power tools at that age. And inexplicably always fascinated by boats. From one of my earliest memories, I think it had to do with pirates, I'm sure, when I was 5 or 6. And when I was that age, I lived in Tampa, Florida. They have Gasparilla Day, where they celebrate when a pirate burned downtown. And then there's the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World there and various other pirate themes going on. So I suspect that had a lot to do with that development subsequently. Indeed. When I first actually built a boat, I had moved to East Texas. There were no sailboats in the area. It was all bass boats. I was much older, out of high school. And I really, really wanted to learn how to sail, probably something to do with pirate ships. They didn't have, engines in them. So they were all sailboats. But there were no sailboats in East Texas that I knew of. My buddy also wanted to learn to sail. So in desperation, after a few months of talking about it, we just bought a couple sheets of plywood, laid one down on the garage floor, looked at it for a while, and then drew a boat shape out on it with a piece of with a pencil, cut that out, and then used the other piece of plywood to put sides on it. Weren't quite sure how to keep the sides onto the piece of plywood, so I used steel shelf brackets to hold the sides to the bottom, bolted those on there, and then...
You mean like you made bookshelves out of? Or
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're okay. L-shaped. And,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it kind of looked like a boat, and then it floated. It leaked just a little bit. It didn't sail at all. I'd only seen sailboats and had a vague idea of what they'd look like.
Wait a minute. Sailboats are curved. How'd you get plywood to curve?
Plywood will bend in one direction to a certain extent without breaking, so we just forced it.
Brute strength.
That's right.
Did you caulk it?
We put some car fiberglass Bondo on the corners, the lower corners there, and then on the front and sides, and so it didn't actually leak very much.
Where did you take this boat in East Texas?
East Texas, relatively flat, and they have a lot of dams and man-made lakes there, so...
Did you go out in this boat?
We went out, but not too far before something broke, and then paddled it back to shore. I put a sail rig on it. I'd only seen some basic sail rigs before. I didn't know much about them, and I just drew what I thought would work, and, well, it didn't. But then, finally, we took it home, and it didn't sink. It just, we needed to paddle it back, and we took it home, and then I got the bright idea that, hey, I could go to the library, perhaps, and see, maybe do some research. Basically, from there, I modified the boat and taught myself to sail on it and taught myself to build boats that way.
Modified that boat?
That boat a little bit, yes. And I sailed on that boat for about a year.
The two sheets of plywood?
Two sheets of plywood. It was an 8-foot-long boat. Just a very simple, ugly, but it floated.
And how did you rig it? What'd you use?
I used a tent pole as the mast and a polyurethane tarp for the sail.
And you were happy?
Well, I didn't have anything to compare it to other than pictures and books, and it certainly better than the sailboat that I'd had before, which was nothing. So, yeah, I was quite pleased with myself.
I try to avoid asking people, how did you feel when, but I can just see. How old were you now?
I was maybe 19.
What were you doing in East Texas?
After high school, I moved down there. My grandparents lived in that area, and I was going to school.
Hi. Where'd you go to school?
First, Texarkana College, and then Texas A&M as an undergrad.
I love Texas A&M. I used to hang around Rice back in the old Southwest Conference days. I really, except those poor guys who had to stand up during the entire... Did you do that? Stand up?
I avoided.
Okay. Did you study anything in college that applies to boat building?
Probably too much, actually. you know, as opposed to what I should have been studying. First, I started out as studying wildlife ecology, and then I changed that to history.
Okay, you're studying history and wildlife ecology. And what did you study that had to do with boat building?
Oh, that was solely independent study.
So. Oh, okay. So while you were in college, you were messing around with boats?
A little bit. I mean, there were other distractions, but I was always, I'd build a boat maybe every few years, a couple years, and just a small one. And I did that for a number of years through college and now after college. And then I went off to Alaska after college. It was very dark in the winters there, cold. There's not a lot to do other than snow sports and drinking. And I discovered they had a pretty good library there. I looked at a lot of boats, and I definitely plans to, when I, as soon as I came back to the lower 48, that I would build another boat.
I want to figure out a way to ask this question, something other than why boats. Let me try this. I have written for years, and whether or not anything sells, I feel more like myself when I get a good writing stint in before I come to work.
Mm-hmm.
Is boats anything like that for you?
It's not so much that I feel like it's a part of myself. It's, I get a very great sense of satisfaction that I have created something. It's very emotionally satisfying. I enjoy it quite a bit and look back when I've done it and said, wow, look, I created something that was just a pile of sticks before, and now it's something useful and hopefully beautiful.
Why boats instead of a nice chest of drawers?
I don't know. It seems like there's a hobby for everyone. So
this is not a hobby, darling. This is beyond hobby. Back after a break with more from Dave Gentry about building boats. This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodrow. Timberville's Dave Gentry, who's soft-spoken and quite reticent, teaches boat building and sailing every summer at the Wooden Boat School in Brooklyn, Maine. To get an idea of what a Gentry boat is like, if you've got some handy way to access the internet right now, go to gentrycustomboats.com and take a look at Dave's quite magical transparent canoe. Now, back before the break, Dave was telling us about how he became interested in building boats. Now he's going to tell us how he became a professional boat builder.
Let the chips fall where they will, 'cause I've got boats to build.
Well, I was always building boats. Every year or so, I'd build another boat and just get an idea in my head and build one, or see plans for a boat and build it. And then one day I thought to myself, you know, I think I had an epiphany. I'm going to be a professional boat builder.
Where were you living?
I was living in Boulder, Colorado, which is not the most nautical of cities. Each boat subsequently got better and better. It's a learning curve there. And as you get better, you can build more difficult boats or put them together faster or whatever. So, but I wasn't building these to be heirlooms. They were to be used. And so I didn't spend a lot of time with 8 coats of varnish on everything. I used them, and if they broke, then they either got fixed or abandoned. So
you're building crude boats. And then in 2006, you had your epiphany and you said, I'm going to be a professional boat builder. What kind of boats were you building at that point?
I was building marine plywood, nice canoes and kayaks and such. And I moved from Boulder, sight unseen, to Bellingham, Washington on the Puget Sound.
I was going to say there's a little water.
There's a lot more water there. There's actually a culture of boat builders and lots of people actually using boats. So I felt like I'd have much better opportunity to sell boats if I lived in that area. So I moved up there, set up a shop in the garage, the house I was renting, and started building kayaks. I built boats for a while and didn't sell any. Not for the first 6 or 8 months, 9 months.
How are you feeling about this?
Pretty depressed, although I was having a good time doing a lot of sailing up there. That was good. Lots of boating. So I was enjoying myself recreationally and building boats, which was fun. I just wasn't making any money at it. I decided that, okay, I'm not going to become a professional boat builder, but I'll just make some boats for myself to use. And I decided to build a skin-on-frame kayak, which is much different than the boats that I had been building.
Talk about that, please.
Skin-on-frame is you build a wooden skeleton, and you cover it out of lumber, basically, that you can get just about anywhere. Well, cedar and marine plywood. So you build a wooden skeleton, then you cover it with fabric, and then coat that fabric with paint or varnish. So the boat is very lightweight.
And what kind of fabric?
You can use heavyweight nylon or polyester. They've used canvas for 100 years or 200 years.
Okay.
Anyways, I discovered that I could build a boat in a couple weeks as opposed to several months and for much less money, and people like them. Sometimes they're translucent, so you can see the frame inside of them with the sun shining behind them. They look like a traditional Greenland, an Eskimo kayak. So,
do you remember the first one you sold?
Yeah, it was actually transparent. The first one I built, skin boat there, was I covered it with transparent vinyl so you could see everything inside the boat quite clearly, your legs, the entire frame of the boat. It was very hard to use because as you were getting the boat ready to go out onto the water, you had to answer many, 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 many questions from everybody who came up to ask you about it.
What is that?
Right. Very few people had ever seen anything like it, and it actually sold quite quickly.
Where did this idea come from for a transparent boat?
It's been done before. It was certainly not an original idea on my part. I just saw it on the internet, basically. Somebody had done one before. I thought, that's a great idea. I'll do that. And it was beautiful, but not the greatest of ideas because you're in an enclosed kayak and the water temperature is lower and your body temperature is higher. And then pretty soon as you're using it, it all fogs up. And so you may as well not have a transparent kayak. And I decided that I was going to build a see-through canoe. And it did not fog up and it was quite beautiful. And I got a lot of attention for that boat. It was in a magazine. And
were you marketing on the internet?
I wasn't at that time, no.
Okay.
In fact, I was done with the whole selling boats thing.
Ah.
Right. Then my uncle in Newmarket here in Virginia had some back problems. And I was the one person in our family who could go and assist him for a while. So I moved out here, helped him out, and built some boats out in this shop and met my future wife. So I stayed a lot longer than I had planned. After I moved back here, I decided that since the see-through canoe was a great idea that apparently nobody had ever done before, that the skin-on-frame thing didn't have to be relegated just to canoes and kayaks, and I decided to turn it into rowboats and sailboats and other things like that. And so I started designing, based on historical designs, some different boats. I can't say that these things had never been done before. All of this has been done before. And over the years, it has been rediscovered. And
you were a rediscoverer?
I think so, yes. Or at least a modifier. So there are various different ways to build these skin-on-frame boats, and I'm basically trying to get the simplest, easiest for people to build boats. So I designed a few boats, and they became popular with people. They'd see them, they'd ask on the internet, can I build one of these? And
now, what were your boats doing on the internet?
Oh, I'm proud of the things that I've built. Again, when you build something, you're proud of it. And my boats got better and better, or at least I thought so. And so I would show pictures of these on the internet on boat building forums where people are like-minded. And I got a lot of kudos and people were enthusiastic about them and often asked if they could build one too or they would like to. So for about a year, I started giving away plans for these and planning ahead that, all right, I'm going to start selling plans for these boats eventually. And I would take feedback from the builders and use that to modify the building plans. And then eventually it got to the point where I had enough designs and had modified all the plans enough so that I could actually start selling them.
What'd you learn over this year of giving away free plans?
I learned that what's obvious to me is absolutely not obvious to a beginning boat builder. So I'd been doing this for 20 years at this point. But these boats are very simple to put together. So my plans were just like a one-page sheet with, okay, do this, now do this. And many of the new boat builders didn't understand how to do these sorts of things. For instance, if you're going to build these boats, you need to build various certain exactly sized frames, and you just give a table of numbers that are measurements, and the builders are supposed to look at that table of measurements, a table of offsets it's called, and then draw that out, graph that out, and that was a very complex thing for a lot of builders. I've simplified that now. With the plans that I sell, that's already done for you. It's I sell full-size patterns. I come with all the plans, so you don't have to do any math or measuring or anything like that, and you just trace them out and cut them out.
What led you to decide you wanted to do this instead of just building boats?
It pays a lot better.
Okay. You actually wanted to make a living at this.
The thing with boat building is that people see a wooden boat. People are inclined to enjoy wooden boats, and they want to build one for themselves. They don't want to just buy one a lot of times. So being a small boat builder doesn't pay well because most people want to build that boat themselves. So selling plans for a boat that's unique and easy and inexpensive to build is a lot more successful. You don't make as much per plan as you would by selling a boat, but once you've got the plans written up for them and everything ready to go, that's, you sell those plans for a long time.
How do you design a boat? I mean, do you do it on a computer? Do you do it noodling around on a legal pad?
At first it does start out on some graph paper, an idea in my head, what I want to look at. A lot of times the boats that I have converted from traditional wooden craft that might weigh 500 or 600 pounds.
For example?
I have a boat on my website that I sell called the Shenandoah Whitehall, which I conceived here in Shenandoah County. And it first was used on the Shenandoah River. So it's a rowboat. You can sail it, but okay. Primarily a rowboat. And it's based on a Whitehall, which is Whitehall, New York, a classic type of wooden rowing boat. And I based it on a specific example that's in a museum that will never, ever see basically the light of day again, will never be used again, and probably never be built again.
Where is this?
At the Mystic Seaport Museum in Connecticut. They're preserving the history of small boats.
I made you digress. You get this idea. You see this boat in history, this
right.
Whitehall.
This wooden boat that's very difficult to make for most people. It takes a lot of specialized skill.
What makes it difficult to make?
Typically, it's a nice round hull, and that's hard to make a round hull out of plywood, so it would require a lot of different planks. So a traditional wooden boat takes lots of planks that have to be very carefully measured and cut out and fit to a lot of different frames that also had to be cut out and fit. And it's months-long process for a person working alone if they're motivated. If they're not so motivated, it might take them several years or never. Which actually, for many boat builders, never completing their project is, unfortunately, the most likely outcome if it's a complex boat. So I converted that Whitehall to a skin-on-frame design that most people can put together in 2 or 3 weeks, and it weighs about 60 pounds as opposed to several hundred pounds, and it costs maybe $400 or $500 to complete as opposed to thousands and thousands of dollars.
Why would you want this boat? Do people collect boats the way they, you know, I don't know.
Some people do for sure, but it's also an extremely useful boat. If you want to get some exercise, it's a great boat to row, and it doesn't require a trailer. You can just pick it up by yourself, put it on top of the car, take it down to the water. The simplest boat to use is the boat that's going to get used the most. So the boat rows very easily. You can take your family with you. So most of all, it's a quite useful rowboat.
Do you have degrees of difficulty boats, or are they all as simple as possible?
There are some that are much simpler to build. If you're going to build a sailboat, there's a lot more complexity to build a sailing rig. It often takes at least as much time as to build the hull itself.
You design the sailing rig, too.
Right. Well, I've been sailing for many years now. Studying the craft, I raced for a long time in college and in grad school. And
sailing?
Sailing, yes. Small boat racing and medium-sized boat racing. Traveled all over North America racing boats. So I've studied the craft, so I did design the sailing rig. But, of course, these aren't original things. This stuff has been done for 1,000 years. So.
You are very self-deprecating about this. You know, you made it sound as though you had this casual relationship with sailing, and then it turns out you're a competitive sailor racing around the world. I noticed your knuckles are kind of banged up.
Yeah, I'm not a very good woodworker.
Is that from boat building?
I'm afraid that it is, yes. So.
Is that pretty usual? Like an 8-year-old with a skinned knee?
Well, that's me, yes. It's usual for me, sure. But it doesn't have to be. If you're a little more careful than I often am.
Is a gentry boat recognizable?
Well, absolutely. I mean,
how?
But I'd say most of my fans are senior citizens, male. So amongst a very small group of people, they are quite widely recognized.
For their weight, for their look, for what?
Well, for their look, I think. So there's no one distinguishing feature because many of my boats are quite different from each other. So I have a traditional Greenland-style kayak. I have recreational kayaks. I have canoes, like a South Seas outrigger canoe, and I have rowboats, various types of rowboats and small sailboats. So there's no one thing, but I do use a certain style of construction that's very simple that's really never been done before in a lot of these boats.
Can you describe it?
Well, it's the plywood frames with the cedar or board frame members for building the skeleton. So there are traditional style skin-on-frame boats that were built with steam-bent ribs and many, many of them and all lashed together, and it's a laborious process. Turns out a nice boat, but it takes a lot longer to build one of those, or a lot more labor intensive than the boats that I have designed. So key is that I want people to be able to build a boat quickly and inexpensively, and also to have a good boat.
Do you have groupies?
Again, they're over 60 years old and men.
If I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Set me up on my pony.